Good afternoon, folks. Welcome to the Apostolic Assembly of Jesus Christ here in Soldotna, Alaska. It is a beautiful day here. We want to welcome all our visitors, all our online people, and hopefully one of these days we can have a church full of people again. So anyway, glad to have you aboard, and want to talk a little bit this afternoon about the heart, about that part of the body that from it the mouth speaks, and all your feelings and hidden desires and everything else are in your heart, and it can come out in a good way or a bad way. In this day and age, it's probably not fashionable to actually take your own inventory. And I mean according to the Bible, not according to somebody over here or man's ideas or anything, but what does God's word say about your life and my life and how we should live it? And are we living it? And so that's the name of the teaching today is open heart surgery. So that's what it's all about, just looking in the mirror at ourselves, trying to be the vessel that God calls us to be and make the changes as God can show them to us. And that's hurtful sometimes. It hurts to look at yourself. And it's something that has to be done. If we're gonna make the rapture and spend eternity with God, we have to be a holy people. And the only way we can do that is take our inventory and work on that every day. When you wake up in the morning, you ask God to give you the strength to live the life that He's called you to live. You could be a holy example to whoever you interact with that day. And then when you get ready to go to bed at night, you can refer back all day long and see, how did I do here, how did I do there? And if you didn't line up to what you really wanted to do, well, tomorrow's the next day. And God's right there with His love and mercy and His Spirit to give you the strength to make these changes. And I don't think anybody's really happy with their natural nature. I mean, it's impossible, according to the Bible, to be real happy there. The only real happiness we have is and contentment is when we're full of God's Spirit and we're living the life that He called us to live. That's the only true happiness that anyone can have. And it took me 33 and a half years to find that out. But praise God that He's a loving, merciful God and looks down and to each and every one of our hearts and sees that there's a hunger there that we want to change, that we want to be His people. Until you get that call in your life, you don't really understand that much. I mean, God's out there somewhere out in the blue. But when God calls you and you receive His Spirit, it's a personal, loving relationship that there's no words for it. I mean, He says it's joy unspeakable, full of glory, and there's no price you could pay to get something like that. It's just humbly getting on your knees before God. And if this is real, I need it, I want it. And come to God with an open heart, and He won't let you down. He's a God of love, for sure. I mean, He has two sides of Him, but the dominant side of Him is love. He only uses the other side when He has to. Anyway, let's get started here, and we'll start out in Jeremiah, the 17th chapter, verse 9 through 10. And I'll go slow here so everybody can keep up. Jeremiah, the 17th chapter, verse 7. And this is what I was talking about the heart. This is God's word, and this is what He says about our heart, our natural heart. Verse 7. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. And that's exactly how we have to look at this world that we're going through right now and all the things that are happening, is that we have to have our hope and trust in God. That is the only hope we have. This is so heartbreaking to watch the anger in this world. It's not even a natural anger. It's a satanic anger. No, nobody can hate like they hate, naturally hate people. I mean, at least they can forgive them. These people cannot even forgive each other. It's so sad, man. I mean, it's getting down to family member against family member, just like the scriptures teach. And we don't want to be there. We don't want to feel that. We want to feel love and compassion for people. We don't want to feel anger for people. Verse 8, for he shall be, this is to the person that will listen to God's word and come under his love and mercy and his commandments. For he shall be a tree planted by the water that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall she cease from yielding her fruit. And here's something we have. Here's the verse that is kind of the punchline for this whole teaching. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Verse 10, though. I, the Lord, searcheth the heart and tryeth the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. So we know the scriptures teach that you'll know the fruit of those that are living for me by the works they do. So our life and our actions, interactions with each other, prove what's in our heart. You can only hide it so long. It will come out. And that's why we need to stay full of the Holy Ghost, stay close to God every day, so he can give us not only the strength to do it, but show us what's not right with him. Because the heart being deceitful, like it is, we cannot see through God's eyes about the things that are not pleasing to him. Yeah, we can, if we get mad at somebody, we know about that, but the intentions of your heart. I mean, we'll go into a scripture here earlier or later about the intentions of a person's heart. God looks right down to the marrow of your bones. And without the Holy Ghost, we cannot not only have the power to change, but to even look at ourselves. So God's got that all figured out. All we got to do is obey his word, and we'll get there. Our next scripture is in 1 Samuel 16, verse 7. Just one verse here. And this is how God looks at mankind, and this is how we should look at a person. We don't know what's in each other's heart. We don't know the things they have going through. We have no idea. We just need to pray for people and ask God to show us if we can help them in any way, shape, or form. Just to be there for them. He's a God of love. I've got this song in my mind for the last 2 days. It says, love is the foundation of everything we are. God is love, and he expects his people to show that love. And we show it not in word only, but in deed, doing for each other, helping each other, being there for each other. And right now, we really need to be there for not only our brothers and sisters that already have the truth, but the world. Have a burden for these souls out there that they have no clue of what's going on. You see all the writing and stuff, and it just reminds me when Stephen and Jesus said, "Don't hold them accountable for this, Lord. They know not what they do. They don't understand what's going on because they don't know what's going on. They're going on their emotions and their feelings. And we don't have to act like that. We don't even understand things that way. Once you receive God's Spirit inside of you, you have a whole different vision of mankind and the things that go on in the world. And that's one of the things that give you so much hope. If we can change, anybody can change. 1 Samuel, verse 7. But the Lord said unto Samuel, you look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I refused him. For the Lord seeth not as a man seeth. For man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. And that's only God has the ability to actually look right into our heart, down into the marrow of our bones, and show us what he needs to change in us and give us the power to do that. And isn't that a beautiful thing? I mean, I personally wanted to change all my life. Just didn't know I could. But I know everybody does. Everybody wants to change something in their life. There's things in your life, whether they're visible or not, that you're not happy with and you'd like to change. And through the power of the Holy Ghost, that's possible. You can actually change, not even be the same person you used to be. What a beautiful thing, man. I mean, and it's not for sale. It's just a desire and a want to get all you can get from God, no matter what the price. And he'll be right there for you. Let's go to Matthew, the 15th chapter. Yeah, Matthew, the 15th chapter, verses 16 through 20. And this is Jesus speaking here. Matthew, the 15th, verses 16 through 20. Verse 16, and Jesus said, are you also without understanding? Do you not understand that whatsoever entered into the mouth goeth into the belly and cast out in draught? But those things which proceeded out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and that what defiles a man. That's exactly how we are. He says, what's in your heart will come out of your mouth. Sooner or later, you will, no matter how guarded you are, sooner or later, you'll slip. It happens to every one of us. It's not anything that only two or three people have. The Word of God teaches we all have that. And it's up to us to stay full of the Holy Ghost enough where these things, he changes us, and we don't have these feelings anymore. And when we don't have these feelings, we won't say and do things that are hurtful to other people. Verse 19, for out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornication, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashed hands defileth not a man. He would talk to the scribes and the Pharisees one time, and he was talking about, you know, you put this outer stuff on to make yourself look good, but inside, you're dead man's bones. We don't want to be hypocrites, and we don't want to be like that. We don't have to be like that. God called us into a freedom that this natural world does not have control over us anymore, and it's up to us to use the opportunity and the power to change. That's totally up to us. So, I learned so much from studying this about myself. It was about why I act the way I act sometimes, or why I've done the things I've done. It was a real soul-searching lesson for me. And I just hope that it comes across that way to whoever might hear it today. Let's go to Hebrews, the 5th chapter, verses 12 through 16. Hebrews, the 5th chapter, verses 12 through 16. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing even dividing asunder of the soul, spirit, and the joints, and the marrow. It is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. We can't hide from God. We can, you know, put a front out there to this person or that person or to the world, as far as that goes. We can be very successful at doing a lot of that stuff, but when it comes right down to when you go to bed at night and you look in the mirror when you're laying there before the lights go out, you feel that squeeze from God. If you're not doing what you're supposed to do, or if he's showing you something and you haven't done nothing about it, you can't hide from God. You have to make the changes sooner or later. hopefully sooner, because he does have a time clock. And if we don't come underneath these commandments and we keep rebelling against them, sooner or later, God's got that other side to him that none of us will ever want to see. Just something to think about. I think about it all the time. I don't want God not only not to be happy with me, but I don't want to deceive myself into thinking that I'm something that I'm not, or more of what I'm not, or anything. I just do not want to deceive myself. I want to see myself through God's eyes. And that's a requirement for all of us. And I love the mercy and love of God. I mean, he cares that much about us to lay this all out in his word, to give us the power to change. I mean, if you look at what's going on in the world today and then think about the love of God. I mean, it's such opposites, man. God is not a mean God. Angry God. The only time God gets angry is at sin. He doesn't even get angry until you know you're doing wrong. And then he's pretty long suffering for us to get it together, so he doesn't have to deal with us and chastise us. But if he does it in a godly way, for our good, and not anymore than it has to be. He doesn't bring out the big guns right off the bat. A little at a time, he just keeps trying to show us. It's only when we won't listen and we're stubborn that he starts to get real serious with us. And, we don't have to be there. I mean, if he's that loving towards us, why can't we be that humble towards him? I mean, there's no reason for us not to be. Verse 13, neither is there any creature that is not manifested in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom you have to do. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. That means our life. We profess to be Christians, we need to live it. This is what that's all about. We Christians are Christ-like. That's what we need to be like. We need to interact with people that way. When somebody says something to you and instantly you get irritated by it and you react to that, that shows what's in your heart. You can't hide that. It doesn't have to stay there, though. I mean, I can testify personally that I was probably the most easily offended person that I ever knew. If God can do that for somebody like me, he can definitely do it for other people. But you have to, the main thing is you have to admit and humble yourself. Yes, you're right, Lord, I am like this. And then he'll give you the power to change. And there's so much joy and peace in that change, man. It doesn't feel good right off the bat. It hurts. It's like cutting your finger off sometimes. But boy, after it heals up, you're that much closer to God, and you have so much joy and peace in your life. And you can look at this word and say, yeah, I'm doing what the word teaches us to do. And you can have that hope that if he comes back, I'm ready to go. Not guess at it. Nobody wants to guess in their salvation. We need to know where we're going. We don't have to guess at it. I mean, there's a lot of people in this world, millions, that are guessing at their salvation. They do not know what we're teaching right here. If they know it, they don't know all of it. They don't know the salvation plan in itself. And that's what we're here for, to bring them out of darkness and get them ready for this rapture that's getting ready to take place. Because anybody that thinks that there's not anything going on spiritually in this world right now, they're wrong. And it's going to bite them if they don't start thinking, God, if this is real, what do I have to do? That's basically all you have to say to God, and he's right there for it. Somebody will tell you the truth, and then it's up to you to obey it. Verse 15, for we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with our feelings or our infirmities, but with all points tempted like as we are, without sin. Now, this is talking about Jesus, that he let himself be tempted in all the different ways that we're tempted, and he overcame all that stuff. But he's also tender-hearted and merciful towards us because he knows what that feels like and what that's like to do and how hard it is to do. That's why he came back and gave us a portion of his spirit to give us the power to change. We couldn't do it before that. That's what he's talking about right here. We now have the power to change here. Verse 16, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. Well, this is a time of need right now. I mean, we've separated as a group of people ourselves, this particular church body. But the world has been separated for, you know, 2 or 3 months now. And by their actions and reactions to it, you could see what's going on. It doesn't make any difference if it's political, unpolitical. God's allowed it to happen for us to see what could happen, what might happen, and what's going to happen. We don't know exactly how it's going to happen, but we know these things are going to happen. And it says when you see these things, you need to look up, because your redemption draweth nigh. And you need to be ready. And that's what we're doing right now. We're learning the scriptures and getting ourselves ready so that when things do go totally left, we're ready to go. Because nobody wants to be here in these final days. Nobody. I don't care if they're scoffers and mockers right now. There's nobody wants to be on the face of this earth when God starts pouring his wrath out. And it's going to happen. Everything that was ever written in this Bible happened. And that's the last thing to happen. Let's go to Matthew, the 6th chapter, verses 19 through 21. Matthew, the 6th chapter, verses 19 through 21. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon this earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. You know, that's another thing. You work real hard and gain all these things in this life, and if you happen to be pretty prosperous, I've seen this in action. People, after they get quite a bit, then they can't sleep at night worrying about somebody stealing or taking it away from them. That's in God, when you got the Holy Ghost, nobody can take that peace and joy away from you, period. If you put your treasures in this life, a fire can come by, thieves can come by, it's all superficial. This stuff will never hold true. Excuse me. Take a drink of water here. Verse 20. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. It all goes back to your heart. Everything we say, do, feel, act, comes from our heart. We need to guard our heart. I mean, there's a scripture in Psalms, I think. I had it written down. If I can find it here before we're done, I'll have you write it down so you can look at it later. But it talks about Solomon, tells you that you need to guard your heart because of the evil that's out there, and not only out there, but because of your own human nature. Our human nature will take us down. It will take us down. That's why we need to stay full of the Holy Ghost, for that reason right there alone. Let's go to Proverbs 3. Now these are the promises here in God's word that if we will keep his commandments and do our very best every day to live for him, this is what he'll do for us. I mean, this is not a one-way street. We do this for God, and He does that for us. I mean, this is living for God. I've said it a million times. It's a beautiful life. It's not grievous to live for God. It's grievous to live without God. I tried that. That's not going to work. I mean, it just doesn't work. And I don't care how successful you are in this life. There's a little spot in you that only that Holy Ghost can fill. And if you haven't got that filled, you don't have the peace and joy that you can have. It doesn't make any difference about anything else. What you've acquired or don't have or can go or don't go or anything else. It's that way God made us. I mean, he made us where only He can give us what we really need. And that's a wonderful thing. When it says joy unspeakable and full of glory, that's exactly what it's like to be full of the Holy Ghost. And that never has to leave you. If you stay where you're supposed to stay, that's always going to be there. And it's awesome the way God can, and He can keep touching you in different ways and blessing your life in ways that you never dreamed of, and you know it's only God that worked that out. That's the kind of God He is. He wants you to know that He loves you, and He wants to know that He can make this or that happen for you. Things that are impossible for you to do are impossible for God. And He wants you to know that it's Him that does it for you. As long as you keep Him first in your life and give Him the glory for what He does in your life, there's nothing He won't do for you. And isn't that awesome? I mean, you talk about a dad, a parent that cares about their kids. I mean, wow. You're awesome, Lord. I mean, I love you, man. So we're going to Proverbs, the third chapter, verse 1. My son or daughter or children, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and a long life and peace shall they be added unto thee. See, right? That's what we were just talking about. There's no peace in this world right now. I mean, you can have peace in God no matter if there's a tornado all around you. You still have peace. I've been there. It's a supernatural thing. I mean, I was working with a man one time, and they had a big explosion at this chemical plant. And everybody was running, and I was running alongside them because I didn't know what was going on. And I said, what could happen? He says, I could get hurt. I says, well, I better catch up to him again. I says, well, what else could happen? He says, you could get hurt. And I got thinking about it. Yeah, okay, I'm going to do everything I can do to keep from getting hurt. But I wasn't scared like he was scared. I knew God was going to take care of me if I did my part. And even if he wanted to take me home right then, I mean, I would have been home. That's what we're all working for anyway. But that was pretty funny when he said, you could get hurt. I go, oh yeah, I guess I can. Just a little side note there. Verse 3, the third chapter of Proverbs. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them upon thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. See how many times God puts the heart in here? I mean, I forget. I looked it up. It's like 780 sometimes it's in the Bible, the heart. In a lot of different contexts, too. But it just shows you how important your heart is. That's where everything comes from. Without your heart, you're not going to make it. You can lose an arm or leg or a lot of things, and you're not going to be around long. But without your heart, you're not going to make it. Verse 4. So thou shalt find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. I mean, look at the understanding, not only of what goes on in the world, about understanding human nature and all that, but just understanding the Word of God, just what it really means. And He says He is His Word. When we know the Word of God, we know God. And only He can open your eyes up to that. He said to Peter, flesh and blood hasn't revealed that to you, Peter. My Father in heaven has. That's what happens when you get the Holy Ghost. You have an understanding that you never even dreamed was possible. Not only in the spiritual realm, but in what's going on in this world. And you understand why people act the way they act. And you understand it's not personal. That's how I used to react. I used to take everything personal. People have problems, and they take them on at each other most of the time. And praise God, I don't have to act like that anymore. I love the freedom that God gives you. He wants us to be free. He says, I come to set you free from you, save you from yourself. We are in bondage, man, to our natural emotions. You can't get around that. Without the Holy Ghost is the only way you can overcome your natural nature and the things that just drag you down. What do you give up to serve God? You give up guilt. You give up anger. You give up all the things that make you miserable. What do you get? Peace, joy, and he says that Holy Ghost is our righteousness. What a trade-off. I mean, what do you got to lose? I mean, at least look into it with an open heart and try it. This is a beautiful life, man. It's good. You'll lack nothing if you live for God. Lack nothing. You'll find out that there's things that mean something to you that really, really are close to your heart that you never even dreamed you'd like before if you start living for God. Verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding. And that's what happens right there. People get successful and they get to certain places and they forget how they got there. I mean, I've got some acquaintances that I know that have known this truth, that they're out in left field right now with their understanding. They've lost what the main goal was. That God gives you the understanding. It's God, God, God. It's not me and then God. Or I did this on my own and I can do that. Or, you know, they brag. That has to be heartbreaking for God to bring you out of that, clean you all up, give you understanding, and have you start drifting back to your old ways. That's got to be heartbreaking. He died on that cross a terrible death so we wouldn't have to be like that anymore. I just pray for these people that somehow God will get their attention and turn them around, because payday is coming. And we all have to give an account for what we do and say in this world. In all our ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear God and depart from evil. Right there it talks to you about be humble. Be humble. It's God that gives and God that takes away. If we got anything going for us, it's because of God, naturally speaking and spiritually speaking. He can knock you down. He talks about if you're thinking you're pretty spiritual or whatever, that he can put you down for a little bit. You get refocused on where you're supposed to be and where your love and your peace and joy and your understanding come from. It comes from him and only him. Verse 8. Now let me read verse 7 again. Be not wise in thine own eyes, and fear the Lord, and depart from evil. Verse 8. And it shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. That means you have just a beautiful life. It means that you're complete. I'll put it that way. Just you're complete. You're a healthy Christian. You might have a few things wrong with you, a bad arm or knee or whatever, but you're a healthy Christian spiritually. That's what that means. God will take care of his people. He always has and he always will. And, you know, in this day and age, what more promise could you ask for that? Eternity with him, and he takes care of everything that happens in your life right now. He's in control of. If it happens, he allowed it to happen, and he will make a way out. I mean, that hope right there ought to be enough for most of us to even live for God right there. Because there's no answers out in that world right now. There's no one. The only answer is God for each and every one of us. And it's an individual thing. Let's turn to Isaiah, the 55th chapter. as we read this thing, think about it. I've actually felt this way a few times when I just on the mountaintop with God. And I know each and every one of us has been there before. We have our little valleys we have to go through and everything. But when God's got you on the mountaintop, there's nothing that can penetrate you. It just, everything is alive and well. And it's just, it's so much joy and excitement in your life when you're in that place. But these scriptures are what remind me of that. I've been there 3 or 4 times in prayer, and it was awesome, man. Just absolutely awesome. It was a supernatural thing, and you know, I'm not standing up here like this has never happened to anybody but me. This happens to everybody if they'll put it all in God's hands and give them their very best. He will do these things for you. Isaiah, the 55th chapter, starting with verse 8 through 13. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth bud, it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the hearer. And this is the part that really touches my heart. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth, it shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the things whereof I send it. For you shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Have you ever felt like that? It's almost like a gazelle. That's the only thing I can think of. Just weightless, just like a magic carpet or something, just floating through life, and just everything is alive and beautiful, and you feel so good and close to God. It's a beautiful thing, man. I mean, how in the world would anybody give that up? And why would anybody not want to see if it's real? I mean, that's what I don't understand. Once you hear about it, you have to check it out. Then it's up to you. If it's not for you, well, sooner or later, you'll wish it was. But at least you need an opportunity. Let's read verse 12 again. For you shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace, and the mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up a fir tree. Instead of a briar shall come up a myrtle tree. And it shall be to the Lord for his name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. And that's God and his people right there. That's what he's got planned for us. What a beautiful, beautiful life God wants. And that's just the start of eternity. I mean, mankind is going to live one place or the other. They're going to live one place or the other. You're never going to die. Once you've been born, you're never going to die. That sounds okay. You can go to somebody's funeral, but they're not dead. That spirit is out of there, but they're not dead. So you have to spend eternity one place or the other, and you have to give an account for everything you say and do in this life. So, I mean, who wouldn't make the right choice? Is anything too hard in this life that you wouldn't give everything you could to just try to get right with God? And he's right there with his love and mercy to cuddle you and hug you and lead you and guide you and bless every part of your life. I mean, if you're married, he blesses your marriage. If you're a single person, he blesses whatever you do. If you put God first, he blesses it. And I love him with all my heart tonight, and just so thankful for what God's done for me. Before we close here, I want to go to the first two chapters of the book of Acts and show you where this hope is at. Because without this, everything I read tonight is impossible to attain. This is when God poured out his Spirit on the day of Pentecost to the 120 in the upper room, and then 3,000 other souls that day were saved. I'm going to skip a few verses here. I'm just going to jump around a little bit. Acts, the first chapter. Let's go down to verse 4. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which said unto you, you have heard of me. For John truly baptized you with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. Now that's Jesus' promise. And that Holy Ghost, he had to go away so he could send his Spirit back. That's what that is. That's a portion of God's Spirit that comes inside of you to give you the power to live the life. Satan does not want me to finish this, but I'm going to. Let's jump over to verse 8. But you shall receive power after that Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. And you can read all this on your own here. I just want to jump over to the second chapter now. Second chapter of the book of Acts, starting with verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, and all were with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven, as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each and every one of them. I've had this experience. This happened to me. It's life-changing. It's a supernatural experience, and you'll never be the same again. Verse 4, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave the utterance. And there dwelling in Jerusalem, Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. Well, the day of Pentecost was a big Jewish feast, so God worked it out where all these different Jewish people from all over the country were in Jerusalem at the time when this happened. So they would be witnesses of what's going on here. And this is how he started showing them their error, their ways, and give them a history lesson. And then it gets down to the part there where Peter says, because they thought they were, if you read all this here, you'll see what I'm talking about. But this Peter is doing all the preaching here. He's the same one that denied Christ 3 times. Now he's not afraid of anything. So what happened to him? He just received the Holy Ghost. He just received this power. He's not afraid of anything right now. So it just shows you that you're not the same person anymore. You're totally different. You don't think the same. You don't feel the same. You're not the same. And praise God, you can live a holy life after this happens to you. Let's jump over to verse 36, second chapter. I'll finish up with this. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made this same Jesus whom you have crucified both Lord and Christ. So when they heard this, the ones that had a love for the truth, they knew that they blew it. They killed the Savior. They knew it. And it says in verse 37, now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said to Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent, which means turn away from your life, the life that you've been living, the sinful life. Be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. That means total immersion in water. Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you shall, not maybe, kinda, hopefully, he says you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For this promise is unto you, to your children, to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourself from this onward generation. Then they that gladly received the word, and it shows you right there, the ones that had the love for the truth, they jumped right on this as soon as they heard it. Then they that were gladly received the word were baptized that same day. There were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Wow. I never. Every time I read this, I can see 3,000 people getting the Holy Ghost at once, and Jerusalem had to be rocking and rolling. Man. Verse 42, and they continued steadfast in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayer. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common. That's what happens when you get the Holy Ghost. You think the same. And I don't mean you think the same naturally. I'm talking about spiritually. Everybody has their mind on what can I do to get closer to God? And you take 100 people, 500 people, 1,000 people, and they're all wanting to please God. How are you going to go wrong? You can't miss. God makes sure of that. And they sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men, and every man had need. That means they took care of each other. If somebody had a need, they took care of it. And they continued daily with one accord in the temple, breaking bread from house to house, and did eat their meat with singleness of heart. There you go. There's that word heart again. The heart is an awesome, awesome thing, man. Verse 47, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. And that's God's church. That's the church right there that Jesus came to establish in the sight of the cross. That's the church that he gave Peter the keys to right there. And that's for everybody that's ever born. It doesn't make any difference what building you go to. The church is people. And if you're not getting fed this word according to every word in here, if you're not receiving that where you're at, you need to go somewhere where you are, where they do teach this. Because there's not 10,000 different religions in the world. There's one God, one faith, one baptism. That says that all the way through his word. So, thanks for listening. I wish I could put out there in words how I feel in my heart about God's people, about the world, about everything that's going on. Because it's definitely heartbreaking to me to see people that don't really understand. They're just running wild, and they don't know. It's self-destruction. They're not just burning the building down. They're going down a one-way road, man. And we need to tell them. We need to give them a chance. That's what we're doing here tonight. I love you all. Thanks for listening. You have a beautiful day. And take this time here to get closer to God. We're going to have the musicians come up here and pray or sing, and we'll pray. Anyway, have a good afternoon. Thank you.